Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Milazzo. Cambridge 105
Radio. Now, if you look at the milk aisle in your local supermarket, you'll see an increasing number of milk products, many of which have never even seen a cow. Among them is oat milk, and one supplier is Glebe Farm at King's Ripton near Huntingdon. Pleased to say that Philip Rayner from Glebe Farm joins us this morning. Morning to you, Philip.
Morning, Julian. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you very much. How did you get into the supply of oat milk in the first place?
We're quite an innovative company when we're doing food. So we've set up oat mills over the last 5 to 10 years. So we're the main supplier for gluten-free oat flakes and milling things. So we're very into developing new product lines. As part of that, we were in Southern Europe selling oats, and we met up with various other family businesses down there. If you go to Spain and Italy, probably about half the milk aisle has been plant-based milks for about the last 10, 15 years, because milk intolerance is much more prevalent there. Hmm. So really, it's inspired by our friends in Italy, actually. And then we work with them to build our oat milk plants here in Glebe Farm. And it fits perfectly with what we're doing with making oats too. So it's all the way from growing them to milling them into...
So were you, before you got into the oat milk business, as it were, was Glebe Farm more of an arable farm?
We still are an arable farm.
Right.
Yeah, so we farm in Huntingdon and also just south of Cambridge in Haslingfield. So we're very much in the area. We've been farming for 50, 60 years in this area. It's a family farm. My father set up a farm, and the next generation, myself and my sister Rebecca, have taken it over and also started the food business.
It's interesting, isn't it? I've noticed this before, where sort of, you know, families are in the, you know, been in farming, and then the next generation comes along and develops another business to run alongside what's already there.
It's very much the way nowadays, I think, as well. Farming's very hard, and obviously not getting any easier. So it's something we have to do. We can do with all our skills that you developed over the years, doing, you know, having to get on and do it as well. So we got on and did it in the food business as well. And it started from a very small little diversification of farmers markets. Rebecca started that. We hit on doing gluten-free. We've surfed a lot of waves, let's say. we hit on gluten-free at about when it was really starting. And from there, we developed all the gluten-free oat mill, which we sell a lot in. We do export a lot into Europe as well, and an awful lot of gluten-free oats go on the shelves. So that's our main business. And from that, we thought, I know what we can do. Rebecca actually as well. I know what we can do. We can do oat milk as well, because we've seen it in lots of places when we were going on trade shows and visiting other customers. So we work with another family business, and that's been great. Yeah. So it's very good relationships. We do an awful lot of that. And some of our oat milk was exported to America, I think New Zealand as well. So all sorts of places.
I was going to say, actually, you know, you're saying you're surfing a lot of waves at the moment. I can only imagine. I mean, a lot of your business, you are exporting a lot to Europe. How has the whole Brexit situation hit you? Has that been particularly difficult?
It's a nightmare. Yes, it is a nightmare. Yes,
yeah.
And it has reduced. I mean, we still do export an awful lot, but it has reduced the ability to better send anything. You know, you have to send full trucks to get to places; otherwise, it becomes impossible. And it's nothing to do with British customs. It's probably just to do with probably mostly to do with just people at the far end not really being able to handle it, and it being too complicated, too much extra trade there for the officials at the other end to deal with it, really. So yeah.
How much oat milk are you actually producing? I don't know how one quantifies these things. I guess if a farmer has a set of cows, he'll know as roughly as to how many litres of milk he'll produce over the course of a week. How does that compare? Because presumably yours is going in batches as the oats are harvested.
Well, no. Fortunately, oats store, so we don't have quite the same problem that dairy farmers do, that they produce every day, no matter if anybody wants it or not, which is always the challenge for them. We can tune what we're making to a certain level, but it's quite a lot, let's say. so you have to make quite a lot to be able to make it work as a business, really.
I was going to say, oatmeal. I mean, is it like quite a process, you know, to produce it? I mean, milk is pretty straightforward. It comes from the cow, it's bottled. I mean, I'm oversimplifying, but you know, but with oat milk, how do you do it? I don't get it.
I would say about 5 years ago, we were looking on YouTube and people were sort of squeezing, making a weak porridge and then squeezing the juice off that. Now, it's quite a lot more complicated than that. Mm. There are similarities to sort of first steps in brewing, perhaps in how malt is made. However, basically, I could say it's just, but actually, it's quite complicated.
Yeah,
caveating everything. You are mixing oats with water, and then you're in the right concentrations. You're then trying to break down the starches, the carbohydrates, so that you get a nice milk that is, as you know. And the ambition is normally to get something as close to cow's milk as possible. That's what we all know and have used. And you have to do a lot more breaking down of the starches, often simply with enzymes. It's nothing particularly unnatural at all. And then you have to heat it up, pasteurize it, cool it down, get it ready. We're not currently packing on site, and then we send that to the packer. So the same thing. You make fresh milk that then has to be put into bottles or into UHT packs. Heat temperatures, very fine temperature controls. So the difference between the YouTube making it of is you have to pasteurize it, and if you pasteurize porridge, you make kind of glue. So you then have to go, right, how do I get around this? So it's quite a black art, to be honest. Simple from concept, you think that should be no problem at all, but actually when you come into it and to do a proper food process where it's really every time the same is step. So it's an awful lot of work over the last three years to get
Actually, can I also ask, so you've got all of that going on, did you not also have a little situation recently with the Swedish giants Oatly?
That's right, yes, we did. So
tell us a little bit about that. I mean, in the end, you won the court case, right?
That's right. Yes, I mean, all court cases are particularly, particularly stressful. It's quite a long time. It takes sort of 18 months or so. They took issue with us using or trademarking our brand name Pure Oaty for our oat milk, which reflects that we use pure oats, it fits with it. And purity. It also means purity, so that it's because we have very low. Very clean ingredients. It's very simple milk that just does what it's meant to do. So they took issue with that. An exercise, I believe, unclear what their ambition
was. It's strange, really, isn't it, Philip? Because you can't, basically, if you're making a product which has oats in it, you'd kind of expect it to have oats in the title, really. We know you can't. It's like orange juice. You're probably going to call it orange or juice, possibly.
Was their case literally like, we own the word oat? I mean, it's a pretty weak case, surely.
I think they discovered that. Yeah. Yes, they discovered they had a weak case. Yes. And for us going through it, it's a very expensive activity going through any courts. I felt that I'm going to have to fight this and stand up against this. Because I didn't believe it. It was complete nonsense as far as I was concerned. So we went through the case, came up the side. The main point for us, it was actually the great thing is you do business and you carry on doing your own thing and trying to push ahead. But the support we had from so many people has been fantastic.
Yeah,
so
it was 130,000 signatures, wasn't it, on that change.org petition in support of you. Fantastic. Well, look, Philip, really good to speak to you this morning, and good that you're keeping the fields of Haslingfield and also King's Ripton as well full of oats and turning them into pure oaty that we can go off and buy in our stores.
Well, thank you very much. You know, we always welcome anybody coming along. From now we're just trying to help develop the brand within our area. We've had a lot, especially Cambridge has been fantastic. Lots of people from Cambridge, and there's a particular shout out to there's a guy called Tom who runs a coffee stall out of the UL who actually set up that petition, and he has a pedal-powered coffee.
Oh, yeah, I know about him.
He's out the front of the university library. So I'm going to shout out to Tom, who's been fantastic. Tom and Ria as well, who also helps. And from that, it was the massive thing was just that support was wonderful.
Brilliant.
So,
That's super. Well, our best to Tom as well. And thank you as well to you, Philip, for speaking to us this morning.
Thank you.
Philip Rayner of Glebe Farm, which takes us to 9:15.
Live and local
all day long. Cambridge 105.